Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Week 3 gets underway tonight in the NFL right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning to you, Randy. How are
What's happening, man? All good over here, Buck, as we're getting closer and closer to the weekend. As you said, everything jumps off tonight. Is it on the station?
It is.
Right here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. As, like you said, the my damn Dolphins are heading up to play the Buffalo Bills. And just, you know, keep it respectable.
Right.
Keep it respectable.
That kind of seems like that's the pep talk from Mike McDaniel.
Keep it respectable,
guys. All right, fellas, just, you know, try not to embarrass the city tonight.
Yeah, keep it respectable, guys.
Biggest point spread of the year so far, 12.5 for the Bills, obviously. Yeah. Tua's saying he can't do half the stuff Josh does earlier in the week.
Yeah,
man, tough times.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I mean, I feel like we saw this coming. Obviously, the Dolphins would never say they saw this coming. They went into the year expecting to be good, and maybe they can turn it around. But we're starting to get close to things going so badly with some of these teams that they start to make these difficult decisions.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
We've seen it 3 weeks in college football. Yeah. A couple programs that were like, well, that's that for us. Yeah. We're going to strategy to move on. I don't know that I'm not saying that happens tonight with the Dolphins and Mike McDaniels, but I don't think we're too far from one of these NFL teams making one of those choices.
No, and you know, I think the writing's on the wall. I think it was a make or break year. Yeah. I think it one of those things where coming into the season, you had the not necessarily expectation of wins and losses, but you had the expectation if it doesn't go right, that somebody's going to lose their job.
And it just had to look.
Yeah.
It had to look a certain way.
It was a difficult offseason for the Dolphins for everything that didn't have to do with the actual play on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You got your star receiver, you got all this other stuff coming into the season. And so, you know, and a lot of times that trickles down into the play. Now, you got to have some Joes, and they don't got a lot of those, you know, especially in the trenches and everything like that. Buffalo, you know, they're one of the best teams in the league. They got a quarterback who's on a damn mission. And, you know, he is a guy that, you know, and I love you. Maybe 2 years ago you said this. You're absolutely correct. They were talking about windows closing. He's like, you got Josh freaking Allen.
Yeah.
That window doesn't close.
No, there's a few guys in the league where if you have them – and they're quarterbacks.
Yes.
But if you have one of those guys, then your window remains. Oh, maybe it's not as open.
Right.
Or slight, whatever. But it's open.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see it.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, that the fun thing about him and that whole sort of group of guys in the AFC, those quarterbacks, when they can stay healthy, and not all of them have that same luck.
Yes.
They're all pretty young, relatively still. Like they're still getting better.
Yeah.
Like Josh Allen can be better than he was last year. Lamar was better last year than he was the year before when he won the MVP, and he's off to a great start this year as well.
Crazy.
Mahomes is struggling with some of the injuries around him.
Yes.
There's some issues around him, but I'm not counting them out.
No.
And then obviously Burrow's hurt again as he tends to be every other year. But that's the fun thing about that group of guys is it seems like pretty much every year one of them's going to be there.
Yes.
And I mean in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Obviously the Eagles got him last year because of the great team that they have. The Packers look like one of those teams that could potentially be there this year as well. And you know, obviously you'd rather be the Bills than the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Clearly in this scenario.
Yeah.
The Falcons are not the Dolphins.
No.
There's no question about that. Now, they've been the Dolphins.
Yes.
Not too recent history. They've been the Dolphins.
They're definitely not the Dolphins.
They're not the Bills either.
No.
They're not the Bills either. But hopefully, building towards being that, because the Bills a couple of years ago weren't this that they are right now. So you want your arrow to be pointing up.
Yes.
And I would say, without question, and again, it's early, and they're 1-1, and there's been good and bad and all that. I would say I think we feel like the Falcons' arrow is pointing up.
Yeah, you would. I think so, and I think a lot of it is because of who you have at quarterback. I think Michael Pittman is going to be a good quarterback. I think we still have to realize this is a sick start, you know, and just like all young quarterbacks, he's going to go through stuff, I'm not saying he's going through growing pains now. I just think that, you know, with more and more reps of certain things, and we can go back to the last game, and I know a lot of people, we talk about the red zone and Zach Robinson's play calling and things like that. Michael's got to play faster, you know. And, I mean, we talked, you know, the one touchdown, and I saw three. And I understand, I know Dave was talking about the one yesterday, and I went back and, you know, I don't watch film, but I found the clip. And you know,
you're not grinding tape.
No, I'm not grinding tape, but I saw the play and I saw what Michael saw, why he didn't throw it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I saw why he didn't. Now, he could have put it on.
We're talking about the pits?
Yeah.
He would have had like the.
Yeah, you would have, because there was a whole player that was reading Michael's eyes. And so I saw what Michael saw on that play. But I mean, but that just goes with more experience and things like that. I got a question today. Why is it the deep ball there? Well, the defense ball isn't there because the defense aren't allowed. They're playing back. That's why they ran the hell out of the ball last time. And so as long as you can run the ball, that brings that extra man in the box, allows you to get those plays. Now, the receiver's got to get open also. And so, I mean, that's the part of an offense and the growing of it and everything like that. So I have no panic or anything about like that, but I would love to see them do better in the red zone. And hopefully it starts this weekend.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean,
because, again, if they get in the red zone, which they will, and over the quarter, which they will probably, and they kick a field goal, it's going to be that. Oh, hell.
Here we go again.
Here we go again.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, from an optimistic standpoint, there was a lot of stuff week one that we looked at and said, hey, got to clean that up.
Yeah.
Got to fix it.
Yes.
I would say almost all of it outside of the red zone efficiency, they did. The run game was much better. We started with the offensive line being much better.
Right.
The special teams was much better beyond just the kicker making the kicks, but the coverage teams and everything else with special teams was good. Not just getting pressure on the quarterback, getting the quarterback on the ground. Like all the stuff that we were asking them to do to sort of take that step from week one to week two, they did do that. If there's anything from week two to week three that you're looking for, consistency is going to be a huge part of it. And I think, you know, that's where we start to get into a difficult expectation level with what they are. We'll get to that in just a minute. But if you're looking for a big jump in one area, that's where it is.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And if it's, and I trust you and Arch and you guys telling everyone what you're seeing on the football field better than most, the plays are there.
Yeah.
You just got to make them.
They're there. And that's the thing about it is that it would be one thing if the plays weren't there. They are there. There are opportunities for touchdowns. It's just not being executed by the players, not necessarily the play call itself. It's not being executed by the player. And, again, those things, when you have a young quarterback, you're going to have those growing pains where it's like I always like when my boy Carl Duke say, pull, let it go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Trust it.
Yeah.
Trust yourself. Trust the fact that I'm going to the right read. And I'm going to get the ball there, and he's going to make the play. And that just comes with more and more experience and things like that, because I'd rather have three than him second-guessing himself than make a damn mistake.
Exactly. And I think that's where he is, too, a little bit with some of that stuff, because if you just kind of look at the throws that he's made and some of the passing game that they've been calling, it's been pretty conservative.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Joe Patrick had a tweet last night that he hasn't thrown a single ball into danger yet this year, like a turnover worthy or whatever you want to call it. But he also hasn't put one more than 20 yards down the field. So he hasn't put one in danger, but they also haven't taken a ton of risks, which, okay, understood. And maybe Darnell Mooney not being fully healthy is a part of that, too, as far as the deep ball goes.
I'm almost certain that it is, Bunk. But I think the one thing about it is when you go back to scheme of defense that you're playing, you're going to get a lot of man-to-man against against Carolina. They trust their corners to be a one-on-one, so you're going to have opportunities downfield. The way they ran the ball last game, you're not going to get those two highs and all those different things. You're going to get extra men added to the box to help out with Atlanta's run game.
They're going to have to.
They're going to have to. So that opens up so many different things when you're able to run the ball the way the Falcons are able to, because that kind of dictates to what the defense has to do and bring extra bodies to help out with the run game. And so that helps out a lot with the pass game, the downfield throws and things. And I'm not saying by any means Zach Robinson is perfect, because sometimes I look at him like, what the hell was that for? Mm-hmm. But yet everything goes hand in hand with as far as how an offense runs. Been in plenty of them where have we run the hell out of the ball all right, well, we know we're going to run the hell out of the ball today, so, Randy, you might get three targets today. But then once we were playing, once we had a dominant run game the way, especially when we had it in Miami, I knew I was going to feed because they had to account that extra guy because you got Ricky, you got Ronnie. In St. Louis, you had Steven. It, you know, you're going to have those opportunities, but it's all about being patient. The one thing about the red zone is that you got to stay above the sticks. You can't – obviously can't lose yardage, but you got to get a positive play on that first play. Yeah. It's got to be a positive play because the one thing you don't want to do is allow them to play coverage and use that extra defender, which is the back line.
Exactly.
You know, you don't want to have them sitting on the goal line. And, that's always the most difficult one when they're playing that picket fence on the goal line in the red zone.
Yeah.
When they do stuff like that, that's when you got to be able to run the damn ball.
Then they can use that small field to their advantage, whereas if you're running it, then they have to be closer to the line and all that, and you can use all of your playbook at your disposal. The next thing, you sort of look at what this team's going to be able to do is – I mean, you're kind of asking for the hardest thing in sports, which is for young players to be consistent, right?
Yes.
This team's so young.
Yes.
And so much of the talent of this team and you know, key positions on this team are manned by guys that are either rookies or second year or whatever.
Right.
But if they're going to be good, those guys are going to have to be similarly good every single weekend, right? Yes. Consistent every single weekend. I mean, it's one of the most overlooked, I think, things in sports that people talk about, and we try not to do that. Great players are consistent players.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, great players aren't ones that go out there and have this one weekend and then they're down here the next weekend and then they're back up here and then they're down here. The great players are right up here the whole time.
Yes.
And a lot of those young guys played awesome
last weekend. Yes, they did.
Now they got to follow it up this weekend.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing to do.
The hardest thing in anything, when especially, I'll just talk about sports, is when you're a young player, is being consistent, knowing that there are going to be some inconsistencies in it. You know, you're going to have a player, or not even a player, you're going to have some times where the youngness comes out of you.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Your wrong read, get out of your lanes, certain things like that. Don't trust your eyes. I mean, those things just happen with this game because you're not used to doing it. I mean, you play football your whole life. Honestly, you can say that, but you ain't played NFL football. And it's the hardest level because it's the most, a complex. It's the most one that it's more like, you know, the concepts are different than they were in college. You have different reads. You have so many different things where a four-yard play is a positive play. You know what I mean? You always can't go for the home run every single time. The matriculation in NFL is more common than the big play.
Mm-hmm.
It just is.
Mm-hmm.
And so the most consistent you can be on an everyday basis, that starts in practice and habits and everything like that, the better you're going to be.
All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's trending here on a Thursday. Thanks for being with us. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Barry, no doubt about it.
The best?
He does?
You said the best player in football.
He's definitely the best player in football, like in my head. I don't care. He's unbelievable. Like, I love the kid. I love everything about him. I love watching him with the ball. I love his confidence. I love his demeanor. I love his mindset. I love the leadership. I love everything about him. And, like, you know, it is what it is. I love the kid.
There you go. That's how you answer a question about one of the players on your team, by the way. Raheem Morris, when asked about Bijan Robinson yesterday, said, yeah, I think he's the best player in the league. There's nothing to lose. I don't think anyone's going to put that on their bulletin board and try to take anything out. I don't know who the guy on the Panthers would be offended by that. But
seven is always red circle.
Yes, absolutely right.
Seven is always red
circle.
But
that's just like, there's been these examples over the last couple of weeks of guys like not doing that, or like when Tua was asked about Josh Allen earlier this week saying what he said. That's what you say when you're talking about your team or yourself in professional sports. Yes. Yeah, I think Bijan's the best player in football. All right, great. Sign me up.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's a special talent, Andy. He is. He's a very special talent. And like we were talking about the other day, you know, for a lot of people that don't get to see the Falcons, you know, on a national base or national stage, for him to play the way he played and show the country who was watching the game, and from the ratings, it was a nice,
yeah.
Very nice.
I thought it was like the biggest week two Sunday night football game in a decade or something like that.
Yeah, so for all those people, they got to see Bijan do his thing, man, and it's just it's a joy to watch, man, because I love watching him run the football. He just has a different style. It's a smooth style, but yet it's so sudden, and he will shake your drawers off. You know, he'll shake your drawers off, man, and that's one thing that, you know, when you're talking about making a guy, like, he's, I don't want to say nobody's in pots, but the probability of him getting tackled by the first guy when he has space, when he got space,
yeah,
you know, that hezzy that he does, he got that, you know what he got? He got that old Steve Smith hezzy. Like, you're like, where'd he go? You know, but he's gone right past you, and so, yeah, I don't have a problem with Ross saying that about him, because he's right. He is one of the best players in football.
And however you measure it, it's up to you, but by the end of the year, if you total up all the yards he's going to have, he may very well be number one.
Yeah.
I mean, he's right now, and he was right up there, and look, I know Saquon's going to have a great year, and Derrick Henry, and there's a lot of guys in the NFL, although his quarterback's out now, but a lot of guys you love to have the football in their hands. It wouldn't surprise me at all if at the end of the year this year, Bijan has the most all-purpose yards on offense.
No.
Any player in the game. And look, I mean, that's what it takes in order to elevate your team. Obviously, great quarterback play is a big part of it, but like a superstar player like that, that gets talked about not only by us, not only by Raheem, but like Mark Schlereth comes on yesterday and says he's the most explosive Falcon I've seen since Michael Vick, right? Mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley gets asked about other guys in the league that he likes to watch. He talks about Bijan. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the kind of star
power.
He's
a fun guy to watch,
that
man.
That it takes in order to elevate the team. Obviously, it results in winning, too, and winning will do it. But, I mean, that's how you get, you know, that's how you get on different broadcasts.
Yes.
If you don't like certain broadcasters, that's how you get on ones that guy's not calling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how you get off the Jonathan Vilma game.
Because people want to see him.
Exactly.
Because people want to see him.
Again, because you're winning, you know? You got to win. Fighting and bad.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You got to win, too.
No, you cannot be.
You got to win, too. And hopefully they can do that. I think they can do that this weekend. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that as the show goes on. We'll get back into more of what Raheem said, Penix said, Bijan spoke as well in about half an hour in an NFL No Huddle. Braves won again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's hear some of it.
And a couple of years later at the big league level, and that thing is hammered. It is deep. It is gone. Another one here in D.C. for Matt Olson, who continues to mash baseballs all over the yard.
I know that we say, you know, we got to take the good with the bad. But yesterday frustrated the hell out of me because I was like, what if, you know, it's like, God almighty, if this offense and the pitching stayed healthy. And I was noticing the past couple of weeks about what it would have been like if we did have Profar with all that, you know, because I think he's a damn good ball player, Blanc. Sure. I really, really do. And I think that, you know, you go back to the beginning of the season, again, if everything was healthy and all those different things, where this team would be. Now, you get an opportunity to see it next year because pretty much his whole damn core is coming back.
Yeah, they'll be back.
Yeah, the whole team pretty much is coming back. And so, you know, you'll get a chance to see it. And we know this, that, you know, there's certain things when you come into a season or training camp or something like that, the one thing you don't want to have to come into it as is rehabbing the whole time. The team will not have that. You know, most of these guys will be healthy. I know some of the pitchers, we don't know about them, but for the most part, all of your big dogs will be, hopefully, if nothing goes wrong or anything like that, that they'll be coming to spring training. Everybody will be healthy and ready to roll and hit the ground running. But, yeah, that's the only thing when I was watching this damn series this weekend, I was just like, ugh. What if, man?
Yeah, five in a row?
Yeah, man.
five in a row.
And I know the Nationals stink.
Yeah, that's fine.
I understand that.
So
I understand.
They've lost to them earlier this year.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that. Yeah. But that's all I was thinking about yesterday as I was watching the games. Like, dang.
But it does seem like you're doing the good fan thing, though. You're starting to talk yourself into next year already.
No. It's not really a fact of me talking myself into, like, as a fan, you talk yourself into, I'm talking about as Atlanta, you talk yourself into the Falcons going to be good, or maybe the Hawks might be better. I don't talk myself into the Braves. The Braves better be damn good. You know, that's me.
They should.
That's how I view this. That's how I view my baseball team.
Yeah.
All right. They better be good. They better be damn good.
I will say this. I'm with you on Profar. I do think he's a really good player. He's not the leadoff hitter.
No.
He's not the leadoff hitter. No. And I know Acuna had three hits yesterday, all that.
Stop bull jiving.
Put him back up there.
Stop bull jiving.
Put him back up there. Profar can bat second.
Stop bull jiving.
But yeah, no, if Waldrip can build on this, obviously he's been fantastic.
Yes.
Hopefully he took the more than on strikeouts yesterday. I think he was stat projected to have 4.5. He ended up with 8.
Yep.
He's been really fantastic.
Yes, he has.
Strider will be at least healthy going into the offseason, so he can, like you said, go into next year on a normal offseason. Sale. And on down the line. So, yeah. And hopefully Snit's managing him.
I'm with you.
Are you?
Yeah, man. Okay. I have no problem. Because I want to make this clear. I have no problem with Brian Snicker.
No, I know you don't have a problem with him, but that's not the same thing.
No.
I want him to be the manager.
Okay, that's fine. I want Snit to be the manager if the Braves want him to be.
Come
on. I don't want.
What do you want?
I would love Snit, Brian Snicker.
Okay.
All right. But don't bring him back because you feel like you owe him.
Yeah, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay, if there's a better candidate out there, which I don't believe there is, but who knows?
I have no idea. Who knows? I don't know who's out there.
That's always my thing. Because baseball and the managers and bench coaches and all those different things, you don't know a lot about them. Mm-hmm. So you just don't know. Like, if there's a good offense in football, you know, hell.
Right. So obvious.
Yeah, so damn obvious. Okay. Oh, that coordinator.
Ben Johnson has to be the head coach of the team in the next couple of years.
Basketball, same way. You're like, if a team is good, and you hear a lot about the lead assistant and all those different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think basketball is the most retread of coaches in all the sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Okay. I mean, how the hell do you explain one coach having coached 4 different NBA teams.
And continuing to get to.
You know what I mean?
No matter what.
No matter what, you're going to continue to get there. Oh, but yes, I want
Doc Rivers
I want Brian Snicker to be the manager.
So do I. Yeah. I would like that as well. All right. So week 3 in the NFL begins tonight, obviously, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dolphins and Bills kicks off at 8:15. That's on Amazon Prime, by the way, on television. But you can listen to it on this very radio station. Week 4 in college football starts tonight as well. Rice and Charlotte.
All right.
But then we've got some bigger ones. Barn
burner, baby.
Well, you know, maybe it will be. probably a lot of barns near Rice. It's in Texas.
Yeah.
Texas Tech, Utah gets us going on Saturday. Big noon kickoff on Fox. 17th ranked Texas Tech. A lot of hype coming into the season, all the money and all that.
Yes.
Utah undefeated to start the year as well. They're number 16. So again, big noon kickoff on Fox means a 10 a.m. kickoff.
Crazy.
In Salt Lake City, which that should be a really good game. I really hope that doesn't early start have any impact on the quality of the play.
Yeah, I mean, they call it the big noon kickoff for a reason. They want the big game to kick off at noon. So obviously that's the thing. But yeah,
noon on the East Coast.
Yeah, exactly. but no, I mean, we're all big fans of Utah for what the culture, the coach, everything like that. We love him. He has a good quarterback who's a different quarterback for the first time in 12 years. it seems like, and you're right, Texas Tech. You know, they follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing. Where they are as a football program. I mean, it's the way it is. They got a rich alum who is willing to spend and overspend because I know this team has got some dudes, but like the dudes that's coming in, he got some other dudes too. So can they build off of that?
A lot of dudes.
Yeah, man, but I like Utah.
Oklahoma, Auburn, 3:30, ABC, also a ranked matchup of undefeateds and the SEC game.
And the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jackson Arnold was at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. He's playing so good this year, man. And they're playing good around him. Oklahoma, big win last weekend against Michigan. I know they're talking about their quarterback has number one in the Heisman odds.
Yeah, John Mateer is off to a great start.
He's like number one in the Heisman.
Which would be crazy
right
because obviously Cam Ward didn't win the Heisman last year,
right,
but he was in the mix and very well could have. And then goes number one.
Where's the game at?
It's in Norman.
It's in Norman.
And then Mateer's kind of doing the same thing at Oklahoma. Both those guys transferred from Washington State.
Yes.
Who's
Washington State has good quarterbacks.
They have.
Washington State has a good quarterback.
Not this year. Yeah. Not so much this year. Which is fine with me come Saturday.
Because
evening.
The Apple Cup is this Apple weekend, Cup. Baby.
So this morning we were in the car line at school and I was like, hey Lily, you know what Saturday is? She was like, what? I said, it's the Apple Cup.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, oh, cool, what's that? Yeah. She thought, I don't know, we were going to have cups with apples in it or something like that. And I was like, it means Washington's playing Washington State in football.
Yeah.
She was like, oh.
Yeah, like.
And I was like, yeah, the Huskies and the Cougs.
Yeah, to be five, I would think is something different too. Apple cup? Whoa, yeah. what's that?
She probably thought we were dipping apples in caramel candy or something like that.
Yeah.
But I go, yeah, it's Washington at daddy's school, Washington.
Uh-huh.
And then they're playing with the Washington State Cougars, the Cougs. And she goes, ooh, I like the Cougs.
Oh, no.
There was a lot of members of my family that got an early text this morning that loved that.
Yeah.
Because my mom's whole side of the family is from Eastern Washington and all that, so they love the Cougs. A lot of people on my mom in the Lundstrom family were very happy to hear Lily's allegiance to the Cougs this weekend.
Well, no, she's not.
She doesn't know.
She doesn't know
what any of that
she knows
is.
That is. She knows she's going for the purple team.
She likes the word Cougs.
Yeah.
Man, who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
That's a fun word
who
to say.
Cougs.
Yeah, go Cougs. This is what my grandma wrote on my graduation card from the University of Washington.
And you know, I love.
Congratulations, you chose the wrong school. Go Cougs.
Was there a check in there?
There probably was. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sure there was.
Was there a check in there?
You had to get that little petty jab in there right at the very end. And then there's one other good one in the evening. Big Ten matchup between Illinois and Indiana, 7:30, also both undefeated, number 9 Illinois. This is the third time ever in the 75-year history of this matchup that both teams have been ranked in the top
20. Is this like a
20.
Rival, like a border or something?
It is. They share a border.
I know. I'm like, is it like a name to it or something?
No.
Like a cool name or something?
This is the We Usually Suck, But We Don't This Year Bowl.
Okay. Yeah, like, is it like a name to it or something like that? Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
No.
Oh, okay. But the thing with
or maybe it is,
Illinois.
If it is, no one knows about it.
Beat that. Oh yeah, that's right. Abe went to Indiana.
Well, they used to. I think Illinois changed the name of theirs, but they both play in the name of the stadiums are the same. They're both Memorial Stadium.
Oh, really?
On both campuses.
Oh, okay.
You know, obviously both schools start with an I.
Uh-huh.
They're in the Big Ten. They border each other. Indiana's the losingest program in the history of Division I. I think
yes.
Illinois is like fourth.
Oh yeah, Illinois has been cheating.
They're both
forever.
Bad. Not this year though. Not this year, though. Not this year. They're both 3-0.
Hey, man.
And Indiana's favored at home.
Really? What are you looking at?
6.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or maybe that's Illinois. I don't know. It says IU. That's confusing. Which one is it? Okay. Okay. There you go. It would be UI.
Okay. Whatever. Hey, Andy, tomorrow we will be in Twin Peaks, Kennesaw. With a special broadcast, so make sure you guys come out and see us. Come out, have lunch with us, enjoy food, drinks, and scenic views, as Twin Peaks likes to give out. As we get you ready for the big weekend of football, that's tomorrow starting at 11 at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get back into a couple different Falcons topics as we look ahead to the Week 3 matchup against the Carolina Panthers. We got some Raheem Morris audio from yesterday, some Michael Penix as well, so don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Up. You get the bag and fumble it. I stumble it, pick it up and fumble it.
I think that's it.
Yep.
I think that's what it is. Sports Radio 92. In the game. Trillville Thursday, midday show with Andy and Randy. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll get to an NFL no huddle in about 20 minutes from right now. Get you a little bit more knowledgeable about tonight's matchup between the Dolphins and the Bills and start setting the table for everything coming up this weekend as well. College football corner at 12:22. I know we mentioned in what's trending some of the big games that are coming up on Saturday, but we'll get deeper into some of those and some of the other big ones and some of the stories going around college football as well. I know the Dabo stuff kind of continuing to fall out and all that, and Brian Kelly yelling at reporters. Remember, those two guys were yelling at each other at the beginning of the year. So
all I'm saying is, how was? Oh god,
a lot of A lot of chirping early in the college football season from a number of different coaches. So we'll get to that, and we'll get to the back page with Bo in about an hour.
I mean, Steve Ballmer has more money than anybody. Well, no.
I think there's five people that we know of.
Yeah, this is why this is
that have more money
because
they
released a statement and all the stuff required. So the statement says here, all right, says Clippers have released a statement saying that Steve Ballmer was, and I quote, duped on a reported $118 million investment into Aspiration. LA Clippers says payments were made to Aspiration company until the company was unable to fulfill their responsibilities. So basically what they're saying is that he was just basically paying shell company, pretty much.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So we're going to do the same thing with him as we did with Shohei. Yeah. Just be like, I didn't know.
Yeah, right.
How could I know?
This dude has billions. So
sure.
Sure, maybe 118 can get lost somewhere.
Just in the couch cushions. You know, yeah.
Maybe $118 million can get lost somewhere, Bob.
Maybe.
Yeah, right. Maybe. Man. Because this is the same thing. He's doing the same thing that Carter Policy did with the 49ers all those years ago. And basically just, you know, okay, I can't because of salary cap reasons and all that stuff, but I can give you this. I can do this. Psst, psst.
Yeah.
Hey, go tell Uncle. What's the uncle? I forget his name.
Yeah, Kyrie or Kawhi's uncle.
Yeah.
Psst, psst.
I got this deal for you over here. All right, don't say nothing. But ask Kawhi if he wants an extra $28 million on the contract.
Because reportedly, that's where it starts from, right? Because apparently the Kawhi camp, who's his uncle, I guess, was in conversation with the Lakers and asked for kind of similar stuff.
Yes.
And they're like, what? No, we can't. What are you talking about? We can't do that. And then Ballmer was like, sure.
I can.
Yeah, we'll invent a company. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. I got $10 billion over there.
What's 100?
And $20 billion over there. Yeah, let's just make up a company quite like planting trees.
Yeah.
Who cares?
It don't matter.
Doesn't matter. He's not going to have to do it. But the best part is like the timeline. Like Pablo Torre has gotten so much information. And that's what's crazy about this is they actually did all of it in writing. Like there's actually a paper trail from Ballmer and these companies and Kawhi and all this stuff that proves the timeline of what happened, all that. Like apparently there was some like $3 million payment that hadn't been made yet.
Yes.
And Kawhi had been sitting out, load managing, all that kind of stuff. Payment goes through.
He plays.
Plays like 35 games in a row.
Crazy, isn't it?
It's funny how that goes.
One thing about just like most about your money.
Sure.
About my money.
Sure.
And I'm sure because everybody knows this tragic story about Kawhi's pops and everything. So I'm assuming his unk raised him and everything like that. Unk get his.
Seems that way.
He get his.
Seems that way.
Yes, he's a part of the negotiations as far as I want something too because I'm the one that's convincing him to do this. All right? So if I'm convincing him to do that, don't tell. Oh, I'm not saying they keep anything from each other. But I'm going to need this. I'm going to need a finder's fee.
God.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to need a finder's fee.
This is crazy,
that's
man.
That's unbelievable.
Man, that's a max contract.
Yes.
Like, yes. It's not enough.
Yeah.
We need that.
Yep.
And trade for that guy.
Yeah. Y'all want me to come, right?
Yeah, we do.
I mean, y'all want me to come. The Clippers been that bad. At this point, I'm one of the top three players in the ball.
Sure.
Which he was.
He was. And when healthy, he still is very good.
Yes.
But isn't healthy all that often. And the funny thing is, like, they did all that and it still didn't work.
Nope.
You know?
Nope.
Did all that cheating.
Yep.
And who knows what's going to happen? Like, I don't know if they're going to believe that he didn't know what was going on or whatever. Seems like he'll probably be able to keep the team and they'll do something. They'll make somebody else pay for it. Somebody else will get punished for it or something like that. But they did all that, all this extra stuff, loophole cheats, making up fake businesses, all that kind of stuff. And still, did they ever make a conference finals?
Once? Not with this group.
Not with this
group. I think CP done made it once.
I thought Kawhi and
Paul George
and Paul did maybe once. Maybe in the bubble.
Maybe. No, because in the bubble it was you might be right in the bubble. Because I think Denver beat them in the bubble.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah. But the point remains. They didn't even win anything.
I don't think they won the bubble. Because you remember Paul George was going through it. Remember that? They were like, everybody was having breakdowns and everything in the bubble. They didn't want to be there no more.
Yeah.
Couldn't fish anymore. You know. All that other stuff that they were mentally going through.
Yeah, as if everybody else out here
wasn't going through.
Yeah, in the pandemic we're doing great out here.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little Falcons here as we look ahead to the Falcons game against the Panthers coming up on Sunday, Week 3, looking to go 2-1. Here's Raheem Morris talking about, and this is something that you were asked about this morning and brought up in the first segment. Haven't seen a lot of deep balls from Penix yet.
I think Mike is just growing and developing as our quarterback, and like he's doing whatever it takes to win. You know, he's displayed gotta have it moments in that first game when he had to go have them and they were taking away the deep stuff, and then this game he was handing the ball to whatever he wants to go by this week.
That's been pretty good.
And really allowing him to affect the game at a high level when he had to make a couple plays, you know, the line, the looky, the couple throws he had to make that he had to make to win that football game, he was able to go out there and make. And I just think he's just doing his role, doing his job every single week. And, like, yeah, those things will come, you know. Like, the one thing he knows and one thing he has confidence in is Billy throw the ball down the field. But if he's not going to force it, you know, if you don't give it to him, he won't take it.
Andy, this is a copycat league. I know we all know that phrase. And what Brian Flores did was the same thing that Todd Bowles did. We're not going to allow the big play. And so we're going to do whatever this is, and we're going to make Michael Penix, which is something that if you kind of read the scouting report on him, is that they looked at that as a flaw, that he, if he didn't have the deep ball, then he wasn't going to be as effective.
Yeah.
And so what he's doing as a young player is, like Rob was saying, is just being patient with it, not forcing it, because that's when you get into trouble, when you force it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can call the shots all day, but if it's not there, don't force it. We know you got a magical arm. Unbelievable. But if it's not there, then goes back to personnel. Your deep threat, which is Darnell Moody, has not been playing. He's finally healthy, but he's not himself. And so what he's done, and that's something we talked about during camp, before camp, everything, were the layup throws. Mm-hmm. Complete those.
Yep.
You know, complete those. Yep. That's why when
– And he has.
That's why
for the most part.
Going back to the beginning of the show when you were talking about the Bijan thing about, you know, all-purpose yards in the league. Well, Bijan's going to catch a lot of balls if they're going to play like that, mm-hmm. because he's in the route. He's the outlet throw, and there's nothing. No, but that's why Kyle is going to be so effective, because those are those 8 to 10 yard routes where you have a better percentage because of how the defense is playing. Defense is taking it away,
right?
And so if it's not there, you got to check down. Nobody wants to be checked down, Charlie.
Of course not.
But that sucks.
Of course not.
Unless you're catching them.
Especially with Randy. I'll get 110 catches this year, man, if you're dumping
off.
I'll
let you do it.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not because he can't do it.
No.
Right? Like, he didn't forget how to throw the deep ball. They're not scared of him throwing the deep ball. You gotta play within the constraints of the game.
Right.
And the defense is actively trying to take that away for a specific reason. Like you just mentioned, they don't know. They know he can do that. It's on record. Mm-hmm. It's on tape. He did it in games mm-hmm. last year. They know he can do that. What they don't know is if he can be accurate in that little intermediate short mm-hmm. game.
Yep.
And we're going to try to make him do it.
Yep.
And if he can't do it, then we're going to beat you.
Yep.
If he can do it, then they're going to chunk yards down the field. And if you can hand it to Bijan and he can be as effective, and Algier too last week,
yes.
if they can be as effective as they were in the run game, then they're not going to have any choice but to bring guys closer to the line and allow some of those deep balls to take place eventually. But it's pretty easy to explain, I think, why that stuff hasn't happened yet. It's because teams haven't wanted you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's been playing within what they've been asking him to do. And then last week, they only threw the ball 20 times.
That was it.
They handed it off 40 times
yeah.
because they were getting 7 yards
exactly.
a carry.
Exactly.
So, like, why go away from what's working? Also, once you get into the red zone, there's no such thing as a deep ball because
no.
you're in the red zone.
Exactly.
So they're getting down there, and so you can't throw the ball downfield there. It's going to come.
It is.
And it's going to come because they're going to make it happen by proving that he can be accurate in the short, which he has been. I think he's like 65%, which is right around
yeah.
where you want him.
But that's what we told, because he was at 58.
Yeah.
So you got to get your percentage higher. And the red zone, it's only a couple coverages that teams play. The majority of the time they play in a quarters-type coverage and everything. There's such thing as quarter beaters and all that. But, I mean, I think the best thing about a red zone, when you're on red zone offense, you got to get positive on that first play down there. Because if you get a positive play, you're still able to run the ball and then also have the option to run. Last thing you want to do is get in the damn red zone and have to throw it 3 times. And so, but I still think they got to do a better job of that. I think Zach's got to do a better job of maybe sticking with the run down there. But at the end of the day, you always, as a player, you got to execute what's called. You know, and I think, you know, that gets away from a lot of times where people want to blame who's calling the plays instead of a lot of times like, well, the play's called. We got to go run it. You got to make it successful. We always forget sometimes they get paid also, you know. And so I think, you know, when you look at it, we talked about it last segment. The first damn time they get in the red zone, which they will.
Mm-hmm.
They
probably on their first drive.
Yeah, they need to score. Mm-hmm. They need to go score. The biggest thing, and we'll talk more about the keys tomorrow while we're up there at Twin Peaks, is that you got to handle 95.
Mm-hmm.
You got to handle 95. That Baldy had a great breakdown of him yesterday, watching him ragdoll. Like, dragged all grown-ass men linemen the way that Derrick Brown does. Like, that's just mean.
Well, it's just uncommon.
Yeah, it's just
it's
mean.
An uncommon
it's
level of
mean
strength.
The way he was like ragdolling, like, old boy.
First of all, that's a first round draft pick right there. You don't need to be treating him like that.
Ragdolling a dude. Yeah, like, just, damn.
To have the, but that's what we talk about with guys like that. Like Derek Brown is one of those guys on the interior of the defensive line. He's just a freak. Yeah. Just like Bijan making these professional first round draft pick DBs and linebackers fall down with some of the hesitation stuff. Like,
the hezzy?
Come on. It's rude. What are you doing to these guys? These guys are pros. That's the best player in the history of his college.
Yes.
You just made him fall down in the middle of the field. All right, now here's something else. Here's Raheem talking about what their plan is if A.J. Terrell can't go.
I wouldn't say day-to-day. I'd say more week-to-week. You know, take him all the way to the game, take him all the way to Sunday, see what it is, maybe a test run if that's the case. If not, go into the following week and see what it is, and then, like, let this guy get have a chance to heal. You want that to go away. You don't want that to linger all season.
Mm-hmm.
He's putting a lot of work to go out to have a great season. He was having a great game up to that point, and I look forward to getting him back.
Options if he can't go?
You know, we got a bunch of depth. You know, obviously, Glow went out there and finished the game for us, and we also have, you know, obviously, Clark Phillips got a chance to get a helmet. We got C.J. Henderson on the roster. We have, you know, obviously, Natron Books, the Swiss Army knife, to be able to go out there and do a bunch of different things for us. Obviously, Hughes did a great job. Billy Bowman's going inside. Those guys did a nice job of mixing it up at the end when A.J. went out and finishing the game for us and really playing well. And then, obviously, you know, Alfred went out there and played corner for us, punt returner, you know, kickoff coverage. He did everything. And that's what you got to do when you're in that position.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody that they have that's better than him or that's going to replace him as, you know, as talented as A.J. is. But you got guys that you know. I think that's one of the biggest things. And I go back to the caller we had on Tuesday, I think it was, asking about different options on the outside of the organization. They're going to always look within first. They're going to look within guys that you've had since March that came down to maybe a tough decision or numbers game when it got down to final cuts. Well, we know what this guy is, and he's been in our system. We don't have to reteach it. He knows what we want and all those different things. So, I mean, it's going to be an all-hands-on-deck type thing. I know I doubt Alford's going to be returning kicks if he's going to be starting the corner. But yet, at the same time, I mean, if you got that pass rush, you can have guys, you know, back there that are not as good as AJ. It helps. It ain't gonna be better because AJ ain't there. But you can kind of mitigate the loss of having him back there.
Yeah, and then look, I mean, they hope that it's just a couple weeks, and then maybe after the bye, you get him. And look, he didn't rule out having him Sunday, so there's a chance he plays Sunday. Seems unlikely, but there's a chance he goes Sunday against Carolina. The fact that they haven't put him on IR means that they expect to have him back relatively soon. And then if something changes with that, then maybe you think about outside. But, yeah, right now you just let him rest, get healthy, and then get back out there when he can.
For the most comprehensive Major League Baseball coverage, tune in to Braves Inside of Grant McCauley every Sunday from the Diamond of 1990 game. Grant will bring you up to date on the latest Braves news with exclusive interviews and analysis you get from the Diamond. This week's show will be on Sunday. I mean, on Saturday at noon, so make sure you guys tune in. It's brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer for your home today. And 50 Floor, visit 50floor.com for your free home estimate.
First hour of the show is always brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Come back and get into an NFL no huddle as we look ahead to tonight's game between the Bills and the Dolphins. All the other big news in the league as well. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.